ears.
All right. So I'll just welcome everybody here to the ERC FNC office hours call. And we are very privileged today to hear from Melody Thomas. And Melody is a master herbalist. And I will let you introduce yourself and then move on to the topic.
Some of you are very familiar, and first off, the elephant in the room is what happened. So always when I first started my herbal studies, it seemed like I got to do all the case studies while I was in school. And it was scary, but it was really good because I got to work out everything that I was studying. And it was fascinating. And I got to see that it really works. And when we give the body the tools it needs, it is designed to heal. And I have seen very serious issues to very light issues taken care of and respond well with diet, herbs, homeopathy, and just love. And so what happened? I had a mole here all of my life. And it was one of those things, when does it go rogue? And no one could tell me why. And my doctor passed away a year ago, October. So we just went for a new doctor just in case. We never go, but just in case. And then in my line of work, we do referrals. So it's good to have a doctor, a GP, to refer patients in to me. So I opened up those channels with a doctor right next door in my office. And so it's one of those things with the physical. Okay, everything, what's this? Okay, well, I have a question about it. Oh, you've had it all your life. It's normal. So I said, okay. And he flippantly kind of said, well, if you're concerned, there's a dermatologist right over here. They're some of the best. They are not taking new patients, and it's very hard to get in. But because you work medical and your office is right here next to them, maybe they could get you in. Well, that was last spring. So we fast forward, and I do laps around the parking lots and stuff to get my steps in during my workday, and I just had the unction go now, which was kind of alarming to me because that's like, wow, that means there's something. So I went in, and the receptionist said, wow, how did you know? We actually have an opening. So that was on Thursday, and they got me in Monday, and he took one look at me and said, he's an old school doctor, no computers in the office, no credit cards, but he's good. He was really good. And I needed that grandfather type because he took one look at me and said, you have skin cancer. And he said, I'm 100% sure. You tell them I'm not doing a biopsy and you're to go now. I'm not going to touch you. I'm going to send you to one of the best plastic surgeons. And I just stood there going, hello to you too. So, I don't understand what can be with you all your life and then go rogue. So when they went, it was 4 hours, and they had to go deeper and wider than what they thought. So this is 2 weeks. Today is 2 weeks. So the scar was rather intensive and they had to go through my eyebrow. And, so now I'm just very scary strip to keep it healing so it doesn't make a big scar.
Progress.
And I had a wonderful shiner, and I used what I'm going to, the topic is today, proteolytic enzymes, of course, with Arnica Montanica 30C and turmeric. And those were my best friends. I did this without any medications except for a local anesthetic. I cannot do epinephrine. And the surgeon said, please, can we do epinephrine? And I said, my liver doesn't handle it. And he said, well, you'll bleed more, but you'll feel the pain. And I sure did. So for the first 2 days, I was right on the edge. I have my own herbal pain remedies and then everything that I had mentioned. And I got through it because it's always harder to detox your body afterwards than just getting through it. And as a midwife, I tell people, tomorrow it's going to be better. It's just like you can get through this. And you need someone in your life to always tell you that, to always put it in perspective of where you've been to where you're going, because you can't see it. And so the first 2 days I was like on that verge of, I haven't taken an over-counter Nacid or anything in 17 years, and I didn't want to start. But I could feel everything, the nerve pain and everything. But I tell you, it all works. It works. And he told me to expect that the bruising would come down here. And it never did. It stopped right here. And the inflammation was very slight. I still have a little, as you can tell, but it's really good. So I'm my own guinea pig, as we all are. So to let you know how it goes. My topic tonight is proteolytic enzymes. And I will be sharing my topic and then a little bit about myself mixed in. So that's how I'm going to do it, Lynn. And so at this point, do I share my screen? Is that how it works, Lynn?
If you have slides.
I have PowerPoint. You, yes.
There you go. Yeah. So you know how to do that?
Here. I'm not sure what to do with that. Can you still hear me?
I can.
Okay, can you see my screen?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. So what do I do?
So you click the share screen.
I did.
Okay. Then your PowerPoint should be somewhere from your choices.
On my desktop. So can you see anything yet?
No. No. So you click that and on the bottom right, it should say share. Not yet.
Oh, there it is.
There you go. Yep.
I said this is the first time, so this is like pretty wild.
You're doing great.
Woohoo! So everyone can see that and they can hear me? It's all good? Ma'am.
It's all wonderful.
Okay, proteolytic enzyme. So welcome to my home. I'm Melody Thomas, master herbalist, a certified massage therapist, neuromuscular therapist, posture alignment specialist, and a whole host of other things, and working on being with IME to become a nutritional endocrinologist. So that's my story. You'll hear more. First of all, let's do a medical disclaimer. This information in this presentation is not intended to replace your healthcare provider or give medical advice. This presentation is for educational purposes only. And so I've learned as an herbalist, what I can say is what I would do, what I have done, and what I have done and used with my family or other people. And so I'm sharing experiences. And then if you happen to have something that looks like that, it's up to you to make an educated decision on whether that would work for you or not. Enzymatic therapy. This is systemic. This is different from digestion. Digestion, we use typical digestive enzymes that take place in the small intestine. Systemic enzyme therapy, we take it on an empty stomach, and we'll get into that later. It goes into the bloodstream. So in today's talk, we're going to talk about serrapeptase and natokinase and what they do, that they're natural anti-inflammatory. They help dissolve scar tissue. They're anti-fibrosis. They clean the blood, and they help with blood coagulation. They're immune system modulating. They fight the viruses. They help digestion in the case of like leaky gut, the respiration, and the reproduction. Systemic enzyme therapy. Systemic enzymes used throughout Europe and Asia for decades. They play an important role in maintaining and supporting every function in the body. Enzymes are essential for sparking thousands of chemical reactions in the functions of growth, repair, reproduction, digestion, and metabolism system-wide. They also play a key role in regulating inflammation and fibrin in the body, signaling the body when to stop producing fibrin, as well as eliminating excess fibrin that is accumulated. The strength and concentration of our enzymes is directly related to how well our bodies fight disease and infection, repair injured tissues, and sustain the body's multitude of functions, including reproduction. Without an adequate supply of systemic enzymes, we can suffer from impairment in digestion, scar tissue, fibrin regulation, blood coagulation, reproduction, respiration, and problems in the immune system. So I'm going to interject a little bit of my story so that you know a little more of who I am in the middle of all this. My husband and I just celebrated our 36th wedding anniversary, and we have 5 children, thank you, and 8 grandchildren. So when we had our 5 children, we found ourselves being asked in the 1990s to move to Russia. So we uprooted our family. Our youngest was 1 year old, and the oldest was 10 years old, and we began an adventure. We moved to St. Petersburg, Russia, and then later lived in Novosibirsk, Siberia. And yes, it's that cold. And I'm a California girl. So I did it and actually enjoyed it. And this is a typical picture in the villages in Siberia. While I was in Siberia, I did have my children naturally at home, and I became a midwife before I left the state. So part of my role in Russia was that of a midwife. We had an international staff as well as our children, and there was an epidemic of cholera. So cholera is an acute intestinal infection that causes severe diarrhea, dehydration, and if not treated promptly, death. Well, I am here, but it's by the grace of God, because my husband, we're the only Americans, and he said, why would we be airlifted out, because we're Americans? And so we stayed, and it was very tough. And we've all had some gastrointestinal issues since then. So after we recovered, and we didn't lose anyone, all our staff recovered and everything. But not long after that, the war in Chechnya happened. And so we found ourselves getting ready for Y2K here. And we flew back to the United States of America. And we found ourselves in the summer. It was in June. And so one of the camps in Florida said, come here, bring your kids here. We'll let them go to camp. So it was all good until our oldest daughter, who was 15 at the time, got bitten by a brown recluse spider. So we'd made a trip to the emergency room. They scraped the wound, thus causing a staph infection. And I didn't know what I know now, and yet I was over in the corner going, we just came from Siberia. We've all had cholera, and they were pumping heavy, heavy duty antibiotics into her, not taking into consideration that she had just had cholera. So this brought us to a term called iatrogenic, which means doctor-induced Crohn's disease. So we were not from Florida, and we found ourselves with the doctor saying, you have to live here for at least 1 year so she can be under medical supervision. And so she spent her 16th birthday in the hospital. And we went from one St. Petersburg to the St. Petersburg Children's Hospital in Florida. And the remedy for this, even though it was in doctor-induced, ulcerated colon, very, very painful, was steroids. So prednisone. So my 16-year-old started gaining weight and started developing the moon shape. So I found a health food store, and I began perusing the aisles. Now, I am a California girl that I guess has more familiarity with natural things, but I was never trained in it. The manager of the health food store was a minister with the Hallelujah Acres, and that was my introduction to juicing and a plant-based diet. So I got my 16-year-old, after she was released from the hospital, a job at this health food store, and anytime she went into an attack, they juiced carrot juice and put barley green in it, and it immediately took her out of the doubled over position, with the pain. And so I knew there was something to nutrition, deep nutrition. And along with prayer, she has and is still in remission from her Crohn's disease. They asked me later, my husband's from Michigan, to be an assistant midwife with the Amish. So once again, I found myself like I was back in a Russian village. I was on dirt floors. I was in places without electricity, without running water, with no telephones. And if I had a question, a medical question or concern, I was used to having the hospitals with doctors on call that I worked with. Their physician, this is Michigan, was in Indiana. So the only way I could communicate was they wrote, pochta in Russia. They would write a letter and I snail mail and I would wait. And I was so frustrated because I felt like I had two lives in my hands, the mother and the child. And I didn't know enough about herbs, which they seemed to want to work with. So my husband is a PhD analytical chemist and his solution was go back to school. And I said, no, I don't want to go back to school. Eventually, it won out, and I went to the School of Natural Healing with Dr. Christopher, and I became a master herbalist. And then we moved to D.C., where I continued my education looking at the body, and I became a posture alignment specialist with the Augusta University, and then a neuromuscular therapist, and I've had a semester of classical homeopathy. Now back to enzymes. This is a picture of the substrate and the enzyme, the active sites. One of the questions that I usually get asked about this is what keeps the enzymes from attacking your muscles or regular tissue? And the substrate and the active site of the enzyme, they're like lock and key, and it cannot go on unless the parts fit. So there's no danger of any of the enzymes going rogue and locking onto a site that they cannot fit on because they have complementary shapes. So systemic enzymes are also known as proteolytic enzymes, which simply means that they eat or dissolve proteins in the body that do not serve a healthy purpose. Rogue proteins can be a result of an inflammatory process that has been moved from being productive to unproductive, an autoimmune condition that is unregulated and causing damage to healthy tissues, and even the protein-rich outer coverings of a virus that allow it to attach to healthy tissues and replicate, such as in the case of Epstein-Barr virus, malaria, or Lyme's disease. Enzymes are an integral element in the healing processes and immune system function of the body. Generally speaking, the body has a sufficient supply of enzymes through the age of the ripe old age of 27. So several modern day influences such as less than ideal food and nutrition, toxic environments, chemicals, and stress contribute to this decline. As our natural enzyme supply diminishes over time, we may notice that we take longer to heal and bounce back compared to when we were younger. Without enzymes, we are more susceptible to diseases. We age more quickly and our bodies degenerate faster. Systemic enzyme therapy can stem this tide and help replace what has been lost due to age and other factors. There are two primary enzymes, serrapeptase and nattokinase, that have been identified in the past several decades as they are proven to be very beneficial in combating certain health conditions related to chronic inflammation. While both have demonstrated to be the strongest and most fibrinolytic of their types, they have different but certain functions in the body. So this is a picture of actually the silkworm, and silk is the strongest substance in material. That's why they used to make it for like parachute, you know, and everything. So that is the silkworm and that is the moth.
So fibrinolytic, that means capable of dissolving fibrin, which does that relate to atherosclerosis? sclerosis?
We're going to get into that. Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to talk a lot about fibrin. So this is a picture of it. And as you can see, these are red blood cells, and the rope-like structure is the fibrin. This is in the plasma. So it's like anything in the body, it needs to be balanced, just like there's good bacteria and bad bacteria. Candida is a God-given need thing we need. If it gets overgrown into areas that it's not supposed to be, that's when it's not good. Fibrin is fantastic for inflammation. It coagulates the blood at an injury site, but chronic inflammation, as you'll see, creates a whole host of actually decline in our health and disease. So fibrin is a tough protein substance that is arranged in long fibrous chains. It is formed from fibrinogen, a soluble protein that is produced by the liver and found in blood plasma. When tissue damage results in bleeding, fibrinogen is converted at the wound into fibrin by the action of thrombin, which is a blood clotting enzyme. But when the liver gets stressed or overloaded, which is what I deal with all the time in my practice, it's liver health. So when the liver gets stressed or overloaded, it can create an excess of fibrinogen into the bloodstream. Thus, inflammation begins to occur. Serrapeptase, also known as serratiopeptidase, is a proteolytic enzyme isolated from the non-pathogenic enterobacteria Serrata E15. It was first discovered as the protease synthesized by the silkworm to dissolve its strong fibrin-rich cocoon before it emerges from, that's that picture right there, before it emerges as a moth. But so serrapeptase is widely used to treat pain and inflammation. It restores circulation by eating excess fibrin and causing blood to get thick, which is clotting. It reduces excess mucus. It's good for back pain, joint pain, any herniated or bulging discs. So this is one of the things I've used serrapeptase in my practice as a neuromuscular therapist for years for post-op incisions and pain or acute injuries. But then I didn't know the depth of what these proteolytic enzymes do until I began studying. And I'm so glad I did, because I didn't know that I was going to need it when I signed up to do this, my talk. studies show that serrapeptase includes fibrinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and anti-edemic, which means preventing swelling and fluid retention activity in a number of tissues. Now, this slide shows a lot of the diseases that are common with chronic inflammation. Its anti-inflammatory effects are widely believed superior to other proteolytic enzymes due to its ability to dissolve the fibrous and or scar tissue related to the inflammation. Another primary benefit of serrapeptase is the reduction of pain attributed to the enzyme's ability to block the release of pain-inducing amines from inflamed tissues. What we're looking at here, you remember, undigested proteins can be in a lot of different shapes, from leaky gut getting in there, causing the autoimmune diseases, like in my case, Hashimoto's thyroiditis. In this case on the slide, bronchitis, the bronchial tubes are filled with mucus. So sinusitis, chronic sinusitis, ear infections where eustachian tubes are, mucus with the discharge in eyes with conjunctivitis, anything with pulmonary issues. So the proteolytic enzymes can dissolve mucus. Physicians in Europe and Asia use serrapeptase as an alternative to aspirin, ibuprofen, and other NSAIDs. A primary role of systemic enzymes is to dissolve and digest non-living tissue, scars, mucus like we just saw, excess fibrin, and adhesions. So serrapeptase removes all this, the excess fiber and scar tissues. It eliminates fibrocystic breast disease, endometriosis, fibroid tumors. A lot of benign tumors that we would have. Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez was famous, and you can look up still to this day on YouTube. You can look at a lot of his lectures where he used the proteolytic enzymes in cancer. So that also is a tumor. Serrapeptase is also good for osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoporosis, fibromyalgia, carpal tunnel syndrome, and can help with migraine and tension headaches. So it heals cuts and wounds, the adhesive tissues that are the scars that connect deep inside. So part of my work is dealing with like C-sections post, and then physical therapy always sends me in because they don't like to do it. So I always tell people, remember, you love me, because I always get the post-operative incision frictioning that I get to do on people, because we want them to have free range of motion. And collagen comes in, like kasha malasha, and you have all these beautiful collagen and fibrin stretching. That's great for healing, but once it's healed, unless we break that off, it's going to limit your range of motion, or if it's in the abdomen or places, it will actually weave webs through the organs. So it's not very healthy for the organs. So it's great for healing those adhesions. With fibrocystic breasts, as you can see, the normal ducts, and then when they get extra fibrin in it, that's the lumpy breasts that the women are very concerned about. It also is, because in endocrinology we have to look at, it's high estrogen, but that's not part of this talk. Right now we're just dealing with the proteolytic enzymes will help dissolve the fibrin, which is creating the fibrocystic breasts. It also helps take care of, this is more my line of work, everything, every joint structure. It's great at dissolving the fibrous tissue of the cocoon. So serrapeptase has been very therapeutic in the treatment of fibroid scar tissue, systemic inflammation, which are all those joints that you can see, and any related pain to that. Now, also in neuromuscular therapy, we have inflamed muscles, but that inflamed muscle can impinge and irritate nerves, and then we have nerve pain. So proteolytic enzymes can help with this whole vicious cycle of all of these. Once the enzymes neutralize the proteins and remove the excess fibrin, the lymphatic system and circulatory system can then eliminate them through normal detoxification process. As excess unhealthy tissue is removed, proper blood flow is restored, promoting better circulation. After previous scar and other necrotic tissues have been eliminated, enzymes continue to keep the inflammatory response in balance so that further excess fibrin does not build back up again, and that's very important. So systemic enzymes like serrapeptase may be a safe alternative treatment for pain and inflammation, as they target only the excess or the damaging fibrin scar tissue and help regulate normal healthy fibrin levels that are necessary for healing or repair after surgery or an injury. Resolving issues of excess fibrin and scar tissue may have a tremendous impact on pain and discomfort related to women's reproductive health, joint pain, gastrointestinal conditions, cardiovascular health, and any chronic condition related to inflammation. Now we introduce nattokinase. Nattokinase is a proteolytic enzyme extracted and purified from the essence of natto, a fermented soybean food used by the Japanese for thousands of years as a traditional food medicine. And I don't know if you've ever tasted it. In Siberia, there was a whole contingency of Koreans. And although this is Japanese, some of the Asians, other cultures do eat it as well. It is pretty nappy. you'd have to definitely require a taste for it. The only way that I could ever stomach it is with hot mustard that they serve with it. It has a smell that is very not pleasing to have you try to put it in your mouth. But the health benefits of natto are incredible. So nattokinase was first identified in 1980 by Dr. Hiroyuki Sumi, who was researching thrombolytic enzymes to dissolve dangerous blood clots. After testing more than 200 natural foods as potential thrombolytic agents, Sumi found that natto possessed a substance with a potency matched by no other enzyme. So Dr. Sumi named the newly discovered enzyme nattokinase. So natto is made from fermented soybeans, which is interesting because they produce the Bactobacillus bacteria. Nattokinase is made from the enzyme found in natto, but it naturally contains vitamin K1 and vitamin K2, and a lot of people, this is what's controversial, but in the research that I found, the K2 is good in the food, but not as good trying to get it out of the supplement. So it's better to eat the actual food to get the benefit from vitamin K2. Nattokinase is used for cardiovascular diseases, including heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, chest pain, which is angina, deep vein thrombosis, hardening of the arteries, hemorrhoids, varicose veins, poor circulation, and peripheral arterial disease. And it's PAD, which I... So the same way that serapeptase targets excess tissue in the form of fibroids and scar tissue, nattokinase is especially therapeutic when targeting thrombi in the cardiovascular system. And like everything we talked about, if you see this, this is the heart and the valves coming out the arteries. And there's plaque buildup. And if it ruptures, it forms a blood clot that will block the flow completely. And you can see the scar and heart that dies when it does not get enough blood. And this is the plaque buildup inside the artery. So this is, again, referring to angina. So you can see the plaque inside a normal artery versus a blocked artery. And then this is also a good picture because the other one was fuzzy when I blew it up. Picture of the blood flow in a healthy artery and then with all the plaque that gets all stuck. So one of the things that is really good is it's a blood cleanser. Our blood should be flowing like wine, but most everyone's blood is all clotted, like that picture of the fibrin, and it's moving like ketchup, very slow and hardly moving at all. So because enzymes are a natural component in a healthy body, there is very little risk of occurrence of toxicity, but make no mistake, they're very powerful. Nattokinase in particular is so successful at improving blood flow and volume that its use should be carefully considered and monitored if a person is being treated for blood coagulation problems. It should not be used by persons currently taking a prescription blood thinner unless under the supervision of a healthcare provider. And if you have a really good functional medicine doctor and you are on blood thinners, if it was me, I would talk to them and try to wean me off of the pharmaceutical blood thinners and get on something like this that will thin your blood. And there's other things like grounding or earthing. There's things to do. But I have heard stories of success where they're not on blood thinners, but when they go in an airplane, they have to wear compression stockings, and that's when they have to take something to thin their blood while they're in the airplane. And so proteolytic enzymes can be used just like that. You can take proteolytic enzymes when you're about to go on an airplane ride for the very same reasons that you would take a blood thinner. It's going to thin your blood, clean it up, and so you won't have the swelling problems, the edema that we talked about. So if you have any questions, that is something to talk to your healthcare provider about. So in my practice, I see a lot of people in pain. So when I was trying to think of what I wanted to do, I was trying to bridge the gap between manual therapy, where I see incredible amount of pain, and recover rehabilitation. And then if it begins to become chronic pain, I always have to deal with them with the biochemistry of the body. So we can't ignore that. So therefore, I chose the proteolytic enzymes because I can work with it in my manual therapy practice and in my practice as an herbalist and as a nutritional endocrinologist. When you take proteolytic enzymes, you take them on an empty stomach 30 minutes before eating or 2 hours after eating. So there's a little humor there.
Yeah, so why is that?
So this is after proteolytic enzymes. Don't you love it? So good health is a result of well-balanced lifestyle, including proper diet and exercise, complemented by natural and superior supplements. We cannot ignore the laws of nature and expect to experience vibrant health. So let's kick pain and inflammation.
So why on the empty stomach?
Because if you take it like if you take it on like you would your digestive enzyme, it's going to be a very expensive digestive enzyme. Because it's going to go and it's going to digest all the protein in the small intestines. And so you don't want to use it like that. So first thing in the morning, it depends on what you're going through, what the injury is. For this, I begin beforehand to prepare the body. For surgery, I did 31 days of juice fasting as well. So I was clean so that I could heal well, that my liver could get rid of anything that they put on, even though it was topical. With the genetic reading with my genome, I have a slow phase 2 clearance of my liver, so I cannot have the chemicals and things like that, so I have to know what to do. So I took them in the morning, first thing, in the afternoon, and then before bed is when I took. And what I'm still taking. So I still am taking, but this is really good. Part of the inflammation that you see is probably because it's so tightly wrapped. They were concerned it was opening. And so I'm trussed up like a pig. That's how I feel, because they want it to heal closed.
So how much are you taking?
I've just started decreasing. You start low and you titrate up. It depends on what you're targeting. For even cancer, Dr. Gonzalez had him taking very high doses. So if you work with a healthcare practitioner, they will be able to guide you. I started at two, three times a day. I went to three times a day. And then right at surgery, I went to three times a day. And I was about to go to three times a day, but the inflammation was so good and the bruising, swelling, everything was so good and the healing was taking place so well that instead I kept that for last week. And this week I started and I started going back down and I'm doing three times a day now.
So what's the concentration per capsule?
There are different ones and you'll see, it depends on if it's just serapeptase or if it's nattokinase. I have not found a nattokinase by itself. I have found they have a lot of serapeptase on the market, and it will come in IU, SU, and they're just different strengths. And they come and start at 40, they go to 60, and they go over 100. So if you're new to this and if you have any of the circulation problems, it's not an acute injury or after surgery, which would be an acute situation. If this is a chronic inflammation issue, such as cardiovascular, I would go really slow and I would probably start out very low, like at the 40 or 60 and work my way up. And as you start feeling better and start feeling the effects, then you can, again, I had to say the caveat with your healthcare provider, then gradually increase the strength and the dosage.
Yeah. So the ones that I take are measured in terms of fibrinolytic units or something, FIU or FIB. familiar with that. And it's like 2,000, although some of the more powerful ones are 4,000 per capsule of nattokinase, for example.
I can't. Oh, and there's my resources if you wanted my resources. Some of them. That's very important. In my practice, I recommend, and I have an online website that is like the Amazon. It's FullScript, and I recommend, because I'm dealing with people that are post-operative healing or post-acute injury, so I really like recommending Vitalzymes. They're very expensive, but they're well worth it because you're not taking them for life. You're taking them for a period of healing. Personally, I'm taking systemic enzyme blend from Bragg's. Patricia Bragg's, you know, Paul and Patricia Bragg's.
Yeah.
It's cheaper. It's a little easier on the wallet. It has a serapeptase and the nattokinase in it, as well as some others. But in my practice, I always recommend the Vitalzyme.
Arthur Medical, I think. Those are the brand. That's the brand I'm taking. Are you familiar with that one?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
But if they'll have rutin, they'll have papain, they'll have bromane in it.
Yeah,
woven. The one it has with the nattokinase and the serapeptase. That's usually the blend.
Yeah, Wobenzyme.
Yes, Wobenzyme is another one that's really good.
Yeah, it looks like it's digestive.
That leaky gut.
Yeah, it looks like it's digestive because it looks. You look at the ingredients and it says protease, lipase.
Because they add all those with it. And that also is very expensive.
Yeah.
That's why I like the Vitalzyme more. But
I alternate that with the nattokinase and serapeptase.
So if you're taking it for
cardio
a long time, what I would really watch out for is to make sure if you get a cut and you're bleeding very freely, then that would tell you that you need to back off.
Right.
Of proteolytic enzymes. These are just little cavats. You don't find them very often, but in practice, this is what I always recommend to people. If you wake up and all of a sudden, you're besides having something like Sandra has with conjunctivitis or with allergies or something, if there's no reason and you have, ruptured blood vessels in the eyes, that could also be from overuse of proteolytic enzymes. That's not common, but these are things that I would look out because it is cleaning and the arteries. So you want them smooth. You don't want to overdo it. The one good side effect, because not all side effects are bad, the one really great side effect is that because it's plaque eating, your teeth are squeaky clean. So when you go into the dentist and into the the hygienist, they always go, what have you been doing? Because they really don't have much to work on. And so that's a really positive part of a side effect of proteolytic.
You mean no plaque.
No plaque. Yeah, because it dissolves the plaque, which is exactly what's in your arteries, is what's in your teeth.
Ah. Are you familiar with Barron Baseline Health Formula?
Yes.
They're loaded with, like... they've got the enzymes, and they also have the digestive enzymes, the fungal protease, the nattokinase, the rutin, ginger, and that's about it. And they're measured, the nattokinase is measured like 501 FUs for three capsules.
Yeah, it's just like herbs. The thing that I watch out for when I tell people years ago, I've been in practice here in DC this is my 11th year, and I started recommending turmeric for inflammation because way back when they had Celebrex back out on the market, now I only see it for postoperative pain for patients. But when it was freely on the market, they did a head-to-head trial with turmeric and Celebrex, and they had the same therapeutic benefit, but the turmeric had no side effects. So for years, over a decade, I have said turmeric. But because I can't sell it, I would just, you know, recommend people to get it. Now, I, as an herbalist, we had, my husband's a chemist. We, when we were in Michigan, we had our own herbal company where we formulated our own formulas. And what I can say is that if you've ever loaded a capsule, it doesn't take long to fill it. And so the more fillers you have in there, the less therapeutic action you're going to have with whatever herb or substance you're trying to take for a health benefit. And so I would just tell people, go look up, go for turmeric, but you're trying to look at the highest amount of curcumin without the fillers, all the little fillers, because all they are is for sediment, for dissolving well, and they're really a waste, in my opinion, because you can only pack so much in a capsule. So look for the least amount. That's what I always advise people. Look for the least amount and the most therapeutic benefit of what you're taking.
I like Arthur Andrews. They have both the serrapeptase and the nattokinase.
Yeah, there's a combination formula that they've got. Mm-hmm. It starts with an N.
Well, they have a nattovena, but nattovena is only the nattokinase.
Yeah, but there's another one. I'm going to go get it.
Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Natto is a fermented product. So according to following the low histamine diet, you cannot eat anything that is fermented. Now, is the enzyme?
So the enzyme, I think, would be safe. Of course, you'd always have to check it and see how you react to it. But yes, if you are on a low histamine diet, yeah, fermented foods are something you're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
They take the enzyme from it. It is not. And that's why it doesn't have the high vitamin K2. It has the K1, but doesn't have the K2 because it's not a food. So I think you would be safe for that, but again, you would just have to see how you respond to it if you take it.
Yeah. Well, the same with the turmeric. Apparently, you can have the curcumin, but not the turmeric itself. So I bought dehydrolyzed whatever curcumin, and mm-hmm. that's what I'm taking in my smoothies.
That's good. And if you can do with Pepperdine, is it pepper or with a pepper in it, it really helps.
Are you talking about the pepperin?
Yeah, the pepperin. Yeah, it really helps. What it does is that it helps it stay in the blood for longer instead of just going right through. So that's what that does, is that it helps it stay. So it's almost like a slow release then is what it's acting as.
And that is like a powder?
It's usually you can find them formulated. Is it pepperin? Is that what you said, Lynn?
Yeah.
Yeah, how to pronounce it. And so it's pepper, basically. It's black pepper in it. I am always, because it's food first, so I have, I don't know, you've probably all seen turmeric roots. They look like ginger.
I was using that.
Yeah, they're cheap. I have them in the freezer. I stir fry them with my stuff. I put them in my smoothies, throw them in, and just blend them up. You know, I make golden milk. I try to use as much as I can natural. But then when you really have something that you're battling like this, that's when you get the big guns out. And when the big guns, it's just like I always go food first.
Yeah.
But if you are so out of balance or fighting something, you need more of a therapeutic approach, then that's the time to add supplements and more. And so that's not for life. You know, it's just to get you back in balance. And then you start titrating down and seeing what you can, you know, do without.
Yeah, I was using a lot of fresh turmeric because of the inflammation. And I don't know if that aggravated.
There's one thing as an herbalist, it's not really highly spoken of. We touched on it just a little bit with the liver. In our society, our livers are so taxed. And so really the recommendation, even though they say it's safe, the recommendation really is, I wouldn't do more than a tablespoon if you were doing it. I would probably do 2 rounded teaspoons a day, because other than that, it can cause irritation to the liver. So that's just one of those caveats that it's not really spoken about, because once you start saying that, then people go, oh, but so
well, doesn't it contribute to gallstones?
Huh?
Doesn't it contribute to gallstones?
It can if you have a predisposition to that. Right. And that's why working with someone and actually knowing your genome to see what you are doing, you know, if you have your gallbladder, if you've had it removed, if you have one of the phases, the 3 phases of your liver that's compromised or slow, then yeah, you may tend to be more prone to these things. And that's why working with, you know, a practitioner or a functional medicine doctor or someone is always beneficial, because they can design a program for you.
Right.
I have a question.
Yes?
Can you make...
That's like Donna.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Yeah.
I recognize your voice.
I have... So if you were to take curcumin and like take the turmeric root itself and then dehydrate it and make it into a powder and then add the pepperin into that and make your own capsules. Is that an option?
Sure.
I have made capsules with turmeric. Mountain Rose Herbs has the best quality dried herbs that I have found.
Okay.
Although on the East Coast, it takes a long time to get here, and shipping, we pay costly for, but I have made my own turmeric capsules. Yes. But again, if you just have something small that you're doing, instead of reaching, say you have a tension headache, I go to turmeric before I go for anything else, because you're dealing with an inflammation. And so I always think of food first. The reason why I took capsules for this is because this is definitely way out of balance. I needed more of the big guns out for this.
Well, I don't like anything spicy, so... turmeric and, you know, the pepper that...
Well, if you're using it in food, do you grate pepper, fresh pepper, on your food?
No, it's too hot for me.
Even black pepper's too hot for you? Yeah.
And well, I have all those issues in my digestive and...
with your esophagus.
Heartburn mm-hmm. and stuff, yeah.
Well, I would just take it plain then, you know, because it will have a benefit, but it does go through the body faster. Just to let you know that. But if you're making it part of your diet, then it's going to be there.
Okay. All right. But, like, I know that I have, like, a ton of inflammation. So that's
how are you doing on your juicing?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I forgot that drinking veggie juice like that actually really hurts me. So that's why I didn't do it for years. So that's not enough.
I was rooting you on.
I know. I was really excited. It hurt, though.
No, any more questions?
Yeah, I have one.
Mm-hmm.
Are the enzymes beneficial for older scar tissue?
Yes. That's a very good question. And yes, in one of my resources, I believe they have an article that I found that deals with one of the doctors. I mean, when we deal with cadavers, and I know that's not pleasant, but we deal with cadavers. It's really interesting. one of the doctors said that his wife had a C-section, and so he knew all what to do. So he was like trying to incision the friction and palpate and make sure that the scar was not attached to anything. And she had to go in for something. Maybe it was something with her gallbladder. And what they found inside was the matrix of the collagen and the fibrin that just attached to all of her organs. Ooh. And so this was years later. And so he is the first one I'd ever heard of say that. And then these journals went and they supported that, is that they went and did proteolytic enzymes and it dissolved the old scar tissue. So, yes.
Wow. Okay.
But I always say, because I am a manual therapist, that it's good to have someone break it up too, you know, and then take the proteolytic enzymes. And then the little pieces will actually be able to be eliminated in your bowels. And I have to say also, I had Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and this with a lot of other things, the whole protocol, this helped also bring my antibodies down. So if you're dealing with high antibodies as well, antibodies is, guess what? It's protein that's floating and the body's attacking and attacking the organ, and it's die-off. So it's die-off protein. So just like we learned, the proteolytic enzymes will then take that and eat it and take it out of the body. So it's really good for reducing antibodies.
Hmm. Are there any good educational websites you could direct us to?
I like Dr. Wong. He's in the sports. He's actually a sports therapist, and he was instrumental in developing Vitalzymes, I believe. And so he's got YouTube channels. I like him. He's a California guy, so he's kind of laid back, you know. So I like his stuff, and it's really interesting to look at Dr. Gonzalez's. He passed away, what was it, in the last 4 years, I think. His research with the pancreatic enzymes and using proteolytic enzymes for cancer is fascinating. This is really fascinating. So once you get into that, yeah, there's just all, it just opens up, and yeah, you can have lots of fun.
Okay. I often recommend a combination of the proteolytic enzymes and castor oil for scar tissue.
That's true. Yes.
Topically or orally?
Castor oil topically. So it's messy if you've never used it. It's an herbalist's best friend because it breaks up things. I have a very interesting story. As an herbalist, I was a midwife. That's how I knew this family, and their teenage sons ate junk, just junk. And I got a call in the middle of the night to come over. He showed all signs of appendicitis. They did not want to go to the hospital. We're in the middle of the country. It takes an hour to get anywhere. So an hour to the hospital, they said, just do what you can, do what you can. And so I used herbs. I put him in a bath, gave him yarrow tea to induce a fever, because I've been trained to raise the fever so that your body can heal itself. Anyway, I used castor oil packs over the appendix, and once he was stable and he was sleeping, I went home to get some sleep. I was called by the hospital, which is like, you're like, oh, I'm in trouble now. And the doctors were saying, what have you done? And I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. And I was like, oh, I was just trying to stabilize them. And they said, we've never seen this. We went, and they went to a smaller hospital. The appendix, they showed on the films that it had ruptured. So he's in ambulance going to one of the bigger cities. They rushed him in for emergency surgery. When they opened him up, it had ruptured, but it was encased. None of it was in the body cavity at all. So it was the putrid infection did not go systemic. It was held, and they said, we have never seen this ever before. Would you please tell us what you did? So then I had to walk through with the doctors, the herbs, everything that I did, and letting the body fight this. And the body, but the castor oil packs were key too, as well as the herbs. But it created this cocoon outside of the appendix that held it in. And they've asked me to publish it, that study, because it was fascinating. So yes, I am a big proponent for castor oil packs. They're very messy. It's external. They're great over the liver. They're great over the digestion, or with females for the fibrotic tumors or endometriosis or any pains like that. It really breaks up. So
How long did you apply that pack for that to work like that?
I was there probably from 2 a.m. till 5 working on this child. And when he went back into the bed to sleep, he still had the castor oil pack on him. And as far as I know, it was there. I don't know if they removed it to take him to the hospital or if it was there at the first hospital, at least.
Like 12 to 15 hours.
Mm-hmm. And remarkable. But see, the body is remarkable in its healing. And so that's why I said all the way through my schooling and everything, I have these case studies that no one can figure out, and it's fantastic.
How thick is the cord of castor oil has to be?
So it's very nasty. It's very nasty castor oil. And so if you're a mother, or know any young mothers, cloth diapers are great. They always say to use a flannel or wool, but you can't always get that. See, I've been in Russia. I've been with the Amish. I've been everywhere. So you use what you can use, and baby cloth diapers work great for a myriad of things. But one of them is with castor oil packs, and it's sticky. You cannot wash it out. Whatever you use will never be able to be used for anything ever again. So if it's a recurrent use, we fold it up, put it in a freezer bag, stick it in the freezer. That's how we do. And then we get it out and reuse it if we need to. But know that you're going to have to throw it away. Do not get it on your blankets. Do not get it on your sheets, your couch. So I usually put enough on to make not a super thick coat, but a nice coating around the area. And then I put the cloth diaper over it. I always, as a trained herbalist, with fomentations, poultices, I always will then, it's the only time I use plastic wrap. I'm not a plastic user, is that I put plastic over it so that if it does escape, it's not going to ruin your stuff. And then over that, to put a hot water bottle or a heating pad, not on high, but a nice low, to really let it go in and do its job.
Yep.
And of course, because I'm trained, I do visceral manipulation. So that's always good.
Definitely helps.
Thanks.
Yeah. So I have a question about the proteolytic enzymes again. So on a maintenance basis, we should pretty much be doing this regularly because we all have inflammation. It's just the level.
Yeah, so you would cycle like anything on and off. Is how I do it with anything, with any herbs or supplements. You would cycle it in. I usually go through a bottle or two of something, and then I don't use it again until it's the next season, and it's this ebb and flow. Because the body gets used to things, and we do not want to get it used to things. So we cycle it in and out, and my training as an herbalist is Sunday is Sabbath. It's a day of rest. Stop all supplementation. Let the body reset itself. So that Sunday, you can do it Saturday, whenever you have your day that's your rest day, do not be taking, and it's like, yay. But it's just a little tiny thing of the body going, wonderful. Now, when I did the 31-day juice fast, I dropped off all of my other supplements and concentrated only on the things that I needed, the proteolytic enzymes. I was just getting cleaned up, started that, but I dropped off everything else. And as I started titrating back down on the proteolytic enzymes, like I'm starting my selenium again for my thyroid. So you can cycle in and out without, it's not like pharmaceutical drugs. And what I say as an herbalist, I'm a clinical herbalist. I am trained for incurable cases. So I've seen the gamut of things. And what I tell people when they're on lithium and all these things and they say, oh, we want to go natural. And I look at them and say, you've been under Niagara Falls. Anything that you would be given would feel like someone's spitting at you. They don't compare with the pharmaceutical drugs, okay, in their immediate potency. But what I have to say about that is the pharmaceutical does not heal tissue, strengthen tissue, tone tissue. herbs do, the natural substances do, and it works from within, so the body is healing from the inside out. Pharmaceutical medication, it stops and it blocks. So if you're taking it for pain, it's a great pain blocker. But you know what? The cap's on there, just like high blood pressure medication. As soon as you stop, it goes to the roof because it's not healing anything. It's just blocking. So even though it may take longer, it is much better to use your food, herbs, the natural substances, supplements, because then the body is self-regulating and balancing. And I see this, it's really interesting. My husband is a PhD analytical chemist. He is like a judge for Arnesian. They call him a pseudo judge, and he is a patent examiner. Really in, he has his master's papers in the patent office for cancer, but he is over the pharmaceutical. So he sees things all the time, and a good guy that was a patient of mine that just retired from the FDA, he was the only guy in there for the FDA. And so I have had a chance as an herbalist to be in there, in the government, talking in their face. I worked with the White House staff when Bush was, tells you how long I've been here, with the administration. And it really works. It really, there's a place for it. But I have, you know, you just have to know what you're talking about and give it time. You know? And Rich, you would be a candidate after all that you've been through. You would be a candidate for this. Yes.
Yeah. Good. I've been starting to take them.
Good.
Yeah. How long have you been working on your thyroid, on the hypothyroid?
I think it was 3 years ago. I crashed really bad. And
how high was your THS or your TSH?
Mine was just beginning to show. But I had been, after cholera, I had been severely anemic. I came back to the United States severely anemic. No one checked my thyroid. And so I was on the floor, and they just kept giving me muscle relaxants. They kept giving me, they gave me, it's not Valium, is that it? Is it real? I was on the floor. I'm severely anemic, and one doctor said, I've never seen anyone walking around that's as anemic as you are. So my ferritin levels dipped down to 6, if any of you guys know what that is. And the doctor said, you're going in the hospital immediately. That was my first blood transfusion. He said, I've never seen a patient with ferritin levels that low that's walking around. And I said, well, because if I sit down, I may never get up again. So I think I had issues way back in the day, but it was the perfect storm about 3 years ago, entering menopause. And then I went to a dentist. Wonderful. I asked if they knew what they were doing, but if you ask someone if they know what they're doing, what are they going to say? Of course I know what I'm doing. And she said, would you like your amalgams removed? And I said, do you know what you're doing? She said, yes. She did not. She was not a biological dentist, and they didn't have the dam. They didn't do anything. They injected me with the epinephrine, which I had an immediate reaction, and I had mercury poisoning. So that, with going into menopause and what was going on with my thyroid, sent me in this spiral. I thought I was going to die. And it was very scary, very scary. And I had been working with my doctor, my GP, for 10 years. And we had a colleague relationship that he referred patients into me. And I went on my lunch break and said, help me, I feel like I'm going to die. And so he took all kinds of blood tests and everything and said, just come in on your lunch break, come in whenever you want. We'll just take your vital signs. He couldn't figure it out. But he turned to me and he said, Melody, I really like you. And you just go, well, it's good if your doctor likes you, right? I mean, what does that mean? And said, Melody, I think that you can figure this out for yourself. So for someone like me that's very strong to actually ask for help and then not get it, I was crushed. I said, I finally asked for help. That means I'm at the point of dying. And my husband says, yay, he's got confidence in you. You can figure this out. And a lot of prayer. And I found Dr. Rita Marie was doing, she was a guest lecturer. And I saw Dr. Rita Marie and I looked up her website and she had a practitioner's training course. And I said, Lord, if you heal me and I do this, then I will tell others about it and help them. And that's where I am today.
Great. Fabulous. Yeah, because I've been dealing with this thyroid and it's been a long time without going under pressure with my primary care doctor. He's trying to get me on the hormones and I just keep saying no, no, and he keeps working on me.
I did it all without medication. But like you have been doing in the sweet spot, I had to deal with blood sugar. Yep. I had to deal with adrenal health. It was a year and a half after I started before I even started selenium for the thyroid. I didn't do a thing for the thyroid and I felt cruddy the whole time, but other parts of me were healing. And that was, I had to heal leaky gut. I started with the gut, started blood sugar, went to adrenals, and then finally thyroid. And my antibodies, I think they're about 100, which if you've been way up into the thousands, that's really good. Even though it flags high, it's like I laugh and go, huh, yeah, it's really good. Okay. So any more questions? And I don't know how to unshare my screen, so there's my cursor. Here.
There you go.
Let's see if I can find you guys again. There we are. So that's my presentation, and I hope that it educated you and encouraged you guys at how fearfully and wonderfully we're made and to not give up.
Good job.
No, yeah. Good topic.
Yeah, it was very good. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. So blessings to you all, and I hope wherever you are, spring has sprung.
Finally.
Lynn, she's looking at it snow, right?
Aww. Yeah.
But it's melting.
Yeah. Right? Sun. It is starting to melt. Yeah, it is starting to melt. But it will be here.
We have a sunny day here in Madison.
Good.
Same here in Rock.
Yeah, the sun is out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Lynn, I see there's chats that I didn't see before. Did you answer everything that went on?
Let's see. I did want to share that Karen Osborne had created in one of the Vital Healing Kitchen shows a recipe using nattokinase. She actually makes her own. Uh-huh. And when you were talking about the taste, I wrote down that dirty socks comes to mind.
But hers is pretty good.
Yeah, Karen's, well, her recipe using it is, you don't notice it. And I do have a friend here locally that raises organic soybeans, and he has a type that's just for the nattokinase. So, and Paula agreed that dirty socks is just what she thinks too.
Yeah. So Melody, check out the Neprenol. I put the name of it in the chat.
Yeah, okay, I will. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the one by Arthur Andrews.
Yeah.
And let's see. That was it. That was pretty much it.
Okay.
So, yeah. And I have a testimony for systemic enzymes myself with different, you know, you hurt yourself. I played football in high school and, well, I went to an all-girls school.
Okay.
but that doesn't mean that girls are nice. You know, I had the ball, I was running, and two girls ran into my leg at the same time and kind of snapped it. Mm-hmm. And And so I continued, obviously I didn't know that about all this stuff back then, but on days that I can feel it, the systemic enzymes really help with that.
That's great.
Because I've never had it operated on or anything.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and you just need some therapy to go along with that. Yeah, I have patients that fly in from New York and Nashville and Colorado. And so, yeah, any of you are free to fly here.
Yeah.
I can work on you.
Maybe you can come to the Shine Conference.
Yeah, if I can get a break. Oh.
Start now.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet outside. We're having an exciting event. We live in Mount Vernon, and Trump is bringing the president of France right here at 6 o'clock. So,
yeah, don't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's
I know, right?
Actually, it started already for you
because it's like all the roads are going to be closed.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it's 6:19 for you right now.
Yeah, so they were supposed to be there at 6. So we're just a mile from Mount Vernon on the Potomac River. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's kind of exciting where we live.
Lynn, to get back on your testimony, with that injury, was it in your joint, like your knee or your ankle? Mm-hmm.
No, it was my knee.
All right, so you think you have some arthritis in there? Since
I do not.
None.
Mm-mm. Yay.
Yeah.
Good testimony, Lynn.
Thank you. Well, this was amazing information. I know many people will be able to use it. if you can't do turmeric, I know turmeric has also got an oxalate component to
that's
it.
True. So some you can't people, do oxalates, yeah.
So that's why the curcumin is really good. Just do the best you can. That's mm-hmm. what this is about. And like you said, each one of us is just a little bit different. And that's why they call it the art or the practice of mm-hmm. medicine, you know, find out what works for you. And now you have all this amazing information that you can help yourself to, that goes along. So, all right. Any other questions?
Nope.
Okie dokie.
All right. Have a great night, all.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hope that you heal pretty soon.
I know. It's still scary if I catch myself reflection. It's like, oh, yeah. But
you're gorgeous.
Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful evening.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.